So our preacher today is Steve Caldwell. And for those of you who don't know Steve, he just has a real passion for sharing the gospel with those outside of the church. And so he's going to just share some words today, reflections on the gospel reading, and hopefully encourage us to just enter this ministry that the Lord has called to us with passion. So Steve, hand over to you.
They're weird.
You know, I know.
Feel like they're going to fall off. But let's start with prayer. Lord, as the gospel reading said today, it's all about your Spirit taking our words and transforming them into something that will transform the world. So whatever I say, make the most of it. I know you're God, you're gracious, and you're sovereign. So in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So first of all, just to remind you of last week, Brian talked about why we share the faith. And today we're going to talk about how you share the faith. And there's going to be a little bit of form to it. So to get some engagement from you guys, there's going to be a little bit of what I want you to say at certain points is, I can do that. Okay. And at other points, you're going to say, I can't do that. And I'm going to kind of help you out with this because I want everybody to be in agreement. So if you feel at some point that you can do that, and I say, I can't do that, then you have to stay quiet. And those who say they can't do it, they have to speak out. And those of you, and it works the other way, right? So, and I'm always going to prompt you. I'll say, this is when we're going to do it. And I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Okay? So my first question is, can you go along with this? And you're going to say, I can do that. So one, two, three. I can do that. Perfect. You got some engagement there. Okay. So every story, this is going to be a story. It's going to be a trip. It's going to be a journey. I'm going to take you on a journey. And every story starts with a little bit of a backstory. So I'm going to give you the backstory for this trip. I think it was about September of last year, my daughter's car broke. And I said, well, I'll be a good dad. I'm going to take you to the auto dealership. And we're going to work through this. And you see how it's done. And sure enough, she got a car. And the sales guy is really, really good there. I really like the guy. I've worked with him before. But then we go into the financing department. And you know what happens in the financing department. Because they try to upsell you on everything. And I was kind of like, you know, we're not interested in this. She said, well, I have to present it to you anyhow. I said, okay, say your presentation. And then all this stuff went on between me and her daughter. I'm going to cut it short. But she really tried to sell my daughter in ways that weren't acceptable. And at the end of it, my daughter and I are driving away. My daughter came up with a good word that, you know, I never taught her, but she says that was reprehensible. I said, I like that. And that got me a little more agitated than I'd been before. So I went back and I typed an email. Now, I've got a problem. My problem is when I write, I can be really kind of scathing. And I have to work on this. And it's the emails. Just don't send the text. Don't send the email. But I sent the email. And the next day, I'm driving up to visit a friend in the Central Valley. And I'm thinking, why did I do that? Why am I the guy who always does these kind of things? But as I was driving, it dawned on me, God was saying to me, hey, somebody's got to be that guy. And I thought about it. Well, I guess there's some truth to that, because if I hadn't said anything, this finance woman would have come back and done it to somebody else. So somebody has to be that guy. But I took it a little further and a little further and a little further, and I realized that we all have to be that guy or that gal in this world, this fallen world. The passage today that I'm going to ultimately talk about is actually comes further down the road, to use our travel metaphor. But I forgot we were going to talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when I prepared this, I actually had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the back of my mind. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is basically what we unleash in the world. I like to think what the evil is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has the fruit on it that he never created. God never created the evil, and we're the ones that are out there creating evil. And because we create the evil, there are consequences for what we do. So everything that happens in this world is happening not inconsequentially, but God is working it. You are the person who's sitting right where you are today, because that's where God wants you. Some of you had to watch me closer. Some of you are going to watch me from the back. It's all playing out. God knows what he's doing. And sometimes, like yesterday, when I go to the gym in my swim trunks because I'm going to work out first and then I'm going to go swimming, I'm wearing these bright, bright yellow shorts. And I'm thinking, somebody in the gym is saying, man, that guy's got some bright yellow shorts on. Because somebody has to be that guy. Somebody has to be that guy. You know, our kids say this to us. They say, oh, you're that guy. And I stand back and say, oh, I am being that guy. Because I'm the older guy, you know, who kind of embarrasses the daughter. I'm that guy. You have to be that guy. You have to be that woman. And it's all playing out. And you have to. When you think about what does it mean to go out and share with the world, you have to believe that nothing is by accident. If you go out today and you see somebody sitting at a bench in the distance, they're there for you to see. And believe it or not, when you are standing at a distance and they glance up from their cup of coffee and they see you, you are there for them to see. Because that's the way God works. Some of us have this notion in our head that there are divine encounters. Well, there are divine encounters. But I would throw to you, there are divine encounters all day long. Everything you experience is a divine encounter. So that's my backstory. Okay, so I've been off work now since July of last year. That was all my own voluntary thing. I decided I was going to do some experimenting with life. And I came to a place where I realized it's pretty much time to go back to work. But I think I need to get something out of my system before I go back. I won't be able to do what I plan on doing for some time, so I want to go on a road trip. And I've wanted to go to the Southwest now for like 30 years. I've driven through there when the sun rises and the sunset. It looks so beautiful. I want to go through the Southwest. And by the way, I've always wanted to go to Miami, so I might as well kill two birds with one stone on this trip. I'm going to head to Miami. That's going to take a while, and so this is something I can't do if I get another job. So I pack up my car, and I have a plan. My plan is this. I want to be, like, I like watching those YouTube videos where you see people traveling and they're interviewing. I said, I could do something like this. So I get my little microphone for my headset, and I say, I'm going to ask a question of a person I see, that person being placed in my path. I'm going to ask them a question. I'm going to explore the answer to that question with them. And then I'm going to let them ask the question for the next person. And this is going to go all the way through the United States. I thought, man, this is a cool idea. I told some friends about it. I said, this is a really cool idea. So I'm driving. I get out of Dodge. As soon as I pass the can, I get into Quartzsite, stop at a gas station. There's a guy sitting at a bus stop. He's not waiting for a bus. He's eating a sandwich. Kind of a guy who's been bounced around in life. Kind of looked like Willie Nelson with glasses. But I said, this is the guy because it's meant to be. I said I was going to talk with somebody in Quartzsite. This is the guy. Went up and asked him my question. The question was kind of lame, actually. The question was, who was your favorite teacher in high school? So he told his little story. And I thanked him, and he came up with his question, which was about sunrise and sunset. And I said, this is good, this is good. So I got on the road, and my first night, I stayed at a place called Lake Mitri down in Arizona. And it's like a marshland. And I found my way, and at the I'm getting to the trail or the head of the dirt road, and I met a woman. And she said, yeah, it's right down the road here, but I don't recommend it. It's infested with mosquitoes. And I said to myself, I've got DEET. I can spray that on myself and I'll be just fine. Okay, so get ready. We're going to do an I can't do this right now, okay? So what I said is I'm going to go down there, and I did. I found my little campground. It was rocks all over, so I got my little hoe out, and I'm hoeing it at everything, and the mosquitoes are everywhere, and I cover myself with DEET and get into, it was just really a lot of crazy camping going on there. So now I'm going to ask you, who can do this? And you're going to say, I can't do that. And that's okay. Okay? Because some of you can't do that and some of you don't want to do that. Okay. So who can do that? One, two, three.
I can't.
Got it. It's not for everybody. But as I'm driving, I start going again and I start thinking, two problems. One, I'm camping so much, I'm not meeting a lot of people. And two, you know, if I'm going to meet people, why don't I just talk to them about Jesus? Let's see where this goes. So I'm driving along the road, and as I'm driving, I'm listening to Audible and Spotify, music, words. And I'm starting to listen to this really good commentary on the book of Romans. As I'm listening to it, I'm thinking about Romans 3. Now, Romans 3, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. I think you've heard that before. And it's interesting because oftentimes when we think about that, you think of a bar chart, right? And at the top of the bar chart is a 10. And then we draw these little bars coming up. This guy's at a 1, 2, 3. But we've all fallen short and somebody's at a 9. You ever kind of had that image in your mind when you've had this passage? Right? We're just falling short. But let me suggest to you that that is a false conception of what it means to be in sin. What it really means to be sin is you've got the 10 at the top and you take your bar chart and you reverse it. That's where we stand. None of us seeks God apart from Christ. None of us. Everything we're doing is corrupt. Everything is broken. Maybe the little bar chart goes down a little farther for some people because of what their evil and depravity is, but we're all headed straight down. We're headed straight down. And it's so bad that in Ephesians, Paul doesn't say we're sick in our trespasses. He doesn't say we're crippled in our trespasses. We are flat out dead in our trespasses. And no one in this world has any hope unless God touches them, changes their heart, and brings out them faith and repentance. And there's only one way he does that, through the preaching of his word. The lot of the dice is cast into the lap, but it is every decision is from the Lord. Lord, I know people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. Who has spoken and it came to pass unless the Lord commanded it? God has placed people on their path. It is not accident. And we, if we are in Christ, should be so, so grateful. Because God owes us nothing. He never owed us anything once we turn from him in the garden. 100%. If we call out, God, I just want you to be fair with me. Fairness means judgment. Judgment means condemnation. It is all about God's mercy. Only when we grasp that do we have a motivation to share the word because we are so, so thankful. Sharing the word comes out of gratitude, not even out of duty. So here's the thing, mindset. If we're going to share God's word, we have to become knowledgeable about who God is, what his power entails, and how incredibly gracious he is. You can read practical stuff. You can read about the grief cycle. You can read about, you know, how to be a great host or have nice parties. All those things are great. You can read about practical Christian things. But the thing that's going to change us is when we learn how profound God's love is for us and how great the world's need is for us. So now I'm going to ask you a can thing. Who can start reading or listening to books that are, let's say it, theological, that make you say, oh my gosh, God is so good, so powerful, and he's had mercy on me? Who can do that? 1, 2, 3. I can do that. So I get on my, so I'm traveling across the United States, and somewhere about halfway through, I say to myself, okay, I got the question I'm going to ask to start my conversation, and I think I'm liking this. I'm going to go all the way around the United States. I'm going to follow the perimeter of the U.S. when I go around. So the first place I land was Key West. And I've got Julian here kind of starting to give me some tips because Julian's from the Florida area. He was giving me some good tips along the way. Okay, hold on a second. I said these things are weird. All right. There we go. So I get to Key West. And I've got two things in mind, right? The first thing is, Nobody is in my steps by accident. Number two, people need to hear about Jesus. So I'm in Key West, and I'm walking along, and I come across a public pool area. And I say, public pool? This sounds kind of cool. I'd like to go swimming. I've got my swim shorts. They weren't bright yellow at the time. And as I go in, there's a guy sitting at the table there. And I said, what do I need to do? Sign in. Okay, so I sign in, go back to the pool, and say, nah, this isn't the pool. I'm going to walk, swim in. So I come out, and there's my guy again. And I said, okay. So the first thing we do is we say, I'm aware of people. The next thing I can do is I can engage with people. You really can. And it's not that hard. Trust me. So mindset issue you've got to overcome is, one, I probably don't know God as well as I do, because otherwise I'd be talking all the time because it's amazing. Number two, you're in your mind. Don't make assumptions about people. They actually want to get in conversations. So I went up to this young man and say, excuse me, what's your role here? Oh, you know, I'm in charge of signing in. I said, okay. You know, I'm doing something interesting. I don't know if you'd like to be participant in it, but I'm doing this thing where I'm traveling all around the perimeter of the United States. And as I go, I'm asking people a question. You curious? He said, yeah. Well, the question is this. Who is Jesus Christ? Oh, you say, I can't say that. People are going to stone me. Just like they did in that passage where Jesus in our gospel reading. Well, they don't. He said, okay. Well, you know, I grew up in the church. My mom was actually a pastor of a church. And I'm not really in there right now. I kind of go to church now and then. I say, yeah, tell me about that. So he talks and talks and talks. And as the conversation going, he says, man, one of my passions was basketball. Was? Yeah. It still is, but things have changed a little bit. You see, the guy had brittle bone disease. And brittle bone disease means you're really, really fragile. He had it in his legs. So he talked about how this started happening when he was in high school, and he had to give up his love, which was playing basketball. So he started to share his heart with me. But then he was able to play wheelchair basketball, and that was a good thing. And now he's coaching the high school basketball team. So he's opening up. Now, somewhere along this, he shares to me, he says, you know, something happened when I was young. When I was in high school, I left home one day angry at my dad, and I said to my dad, I hate you. And later on that day, when I wasn't home, my dad died. And he started talking to me, and I said, that's regret. It's one thing to know your sins are forgiven. It's really hard when you can't unchange the past. And we talked a while, and he really appreciated that conversation. We talked a little more. And it ends up that he's the assistant coach. The head coach was interested in, wanted to get him the keys about a week ago. So he was expecting to get the keys, but the coach didn't show up. Well, the next morning they found the coach in a drain because the keys had dropped in a drain. He'd reached in to get them. He'd fallen in, couldn't get out, and he drowned. So now this kid, he's 30, he basically has to help his students cope with this loss, and he himself has to hold it together while he's doing that. He's sharing all this stuff with me because I asked one question. Because he's sitting there, he's doing nothing, and I asked him an interesting question. By the time he gets done, he's saying, man, I really appreciated this conversation. This has really helped me process through some stuff. Didn't use those words. That's like psychology. But at the end of it, I did something that's really kind of natural to do for a Christian. I prayed for him. I said, hey, would you like some prayer? Yeah, I would like some prayer. And we prayed together. That was really cool. Because God had put him there, because I knew I could start a conversation with him, and I was willing to listen. Okay? Okay, we're going to do it again. Do you think it's possible for you to just look at somebody and say, you know what? That person is bored. You wouldn't believe how many bored people are in our world. They look like they're busy. They are not busy. They are waiting for someone to do something little more than what they're doing because they're scrolling through their phones. If you see somebody scrolling through their phones, they are basically saying, please, please talk to me. I am so bored. I've been doing this and my neck is sore because it's pointed down. Okay? Trust me. If you see somebody who's by themselves doing nothing, even just eating a lunch, you can go up and say, hey. And You can introduce yourself. I make it a point every day to introduce myself to one person and strike up a conversation. They go, what? Yeah, you want to start a conversation? Okay. Trust me, it works. I do this. So then I start heading up the road, and I'm heading up towards Charlottesville, and I go to Monticello. It's smaller than I thought. The design isn't as cool as I thought an architecture would do. That's my opinion. In Charlottesville, I'm camping in my car, and I'm on some desolate road. I kind of have a scheme for car camping, and I'm sleeping in my car, and at about 2 in the morning, some guy's flying his flashlight in my car. I'm like, what the heck? Get out of here. And he runs off. I'm saying, somebody's casing my car, and I'm sleeping in my car. Okay, so we know what to do. This is, I can't do it. Who wants to go car camping? 1, 2, 3. I can't do that. Of course you can. Some of you can. Okay. All right, so now I'm in Fairfax. In Fairfax, Virginia, I'm having a coffee with somebody, and I'm looking at her. I'm sitting here. She's sitting about 2 seats over, and it's a young woman, and she's reading a book by Elie Wiesel called Night. And it's a book about his suffering in a concentration camp, his reflections on evil. And I just saw her there, and I said, hey, you know, it's okay to interrupt somebody reading a book. They say they're usually not going to say, hey, I'm really busy, you know, don't do that, you know. And it's easy, you know, it's a segue. I just said to her, I said, say, I see you're reading Night by Elie Wiesel. Are you a high school student or college student? She says, no, I'm in high school. I say, yeah. I'm curious. Curiosity goes a long way with talking with you. I'm curious. That's a book about evil and darkness in the human world, right? She says, oh, yeah. I'm saying, what do you think? What do you think is the cause of all this suffering and misery? And we start a conversation. Now, I have an advantage because I used to teach English, and it's like the Socratic method. I'm just kind of asking her questions and questions and questions until finally I said, do you kind of want my perspective on things? So I'm shifting now. I know there's somebody out there. They're in my path all day long. I can strike up conversations with them, and at times I can shift over into sharing my belief. So I share my belief. I told her what I thought. And you know what? She'd never heard it before. She had very little background as to Christianity. And I shared her the story of who Jesus is. So here's our passage that we read earlier. Let's see if I can find it. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand what you will say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. This is a head trip we have. How can I share the gospel? I don't know if I can do it right. Do you know Jesus? You can share the gospel. Trust me, get out there, open your mouth. Do you think a sovereign God is going to say, can't work with this person's words. They didn't say them properly. That person's gone forever. Or do you think we have a God who's just all, man, that was a mumbled bunch of nonsense. But you know what? Because I'm sovereign, I can work in this person's heart and they will hear it. That's what God does. You see somebody, you talk to somebody. If God leads you to him, you share with somebody. And trust me, I've done this so many. This generation, Gen Z, they don't, for the most part, have any feelings about Christianity. It's so off their radar. They don't even know the gospel. I kid you not. And they are interested. If you go out and you see a young person scrolling their phone, I don't care how old you are. If you go up and say to them, hey, you know, I make it a point every day to introduce myself to one person. I saw you and I'm curious. Do you want to start a conversation? Do that and report back to me. You may really be surprised at saying, they like talking. And I had something to share with them. So now I'm in Fairfax, and one of my conversations was down in Alexandria, and there's a guy on the beach there, and I'm talking. He'd been from Glendale, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to head back to California. It's getting cold. I don't like the weather. And he says, you got to keep going, man. You got to go to New England. And because I believe everything's ordained by providence, I say, well, God must be God talking to me. So north I go on the coast, And I'm heading up to Maine. I get to the tip of Maine, and it's getting really cold. And I come back through Chicago and say, this is the end of it. I'm heading back. And I'm heading back to California, and I'm coming down through Kansas, and there's this massive dust storm kicking up. It's like tornado season. It was the worst drive I've ever been on. My car, which was getting 36 miles to the gallon, got 24 miles to the gallon. It was so bad. But then it settled down, and I'm coming down kind of a steady slope into the Great Plains. And out in front of me are the mountains of New Mexico. And I've got some music playing in the car. And in the distance, I see not only the mountains, but I see a giant, giant wave-like cloud. Massive, but it looked like a wave. And perhaps it was the music it was playing, perhaps that I'd been on the road for so long. It was almost like I was having a vision of the final judgment. Because a giant wave is coming. A giant wave is coming. And we shall all be judged. We shall all. It says it in, where is my passage? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We're all headed there. And then I started it, and it's as if, what is that going to look like? When all time is starting to disintegrate and come to an end, when the universe is beginning to change, and the glory of God is starting to be revealed, I mean, are we carried along in this powerful jet stream towards God, and we're starting to encounter our sins, and they're colliding with us, and the tears are in our eyes because we see what we've done and what we haven't done, but then they're peeled off behind us? And all of a sudden we know the mercy, and it happens again and again and again as we're moving through our lives. And as we're looking, there's other people as they're traveling through this, and their sins are sticking to them. They're colliding with them, and they're not being taken away because they're carrying all their sins. That's the final judgment. But the cool thing was, as I'm heading down and I see this giant cloud, the mountains are called the Sangre de Cristo, the blood of Christ. We get to hide in the blood of Christ. If we know Jesus, we avoid the giant cloud of judgment. I keep going, ended up in Santa Fe, ended up in Gallup, New Mexico. On Gallup, I leave Gallup for Monument Valley. It's day 38. And I say to myself, this has been kind of a pilgrimage. I've got 2 days to go. I've got to make it 40. So I headed up to Santa Barbara. It was really cool. I stayed there for a couple nights. Heading down the coast, I took the one to make it scenic in Malibu, and there's a place called Malibu Village. So I went to Malibu Village, where I've been before, and I said, I'm going to find somebody here. I'm going to share one more time. And sure enough, there's a young man sitting there drinking his cup of coffee, and I'm saying, all right, this is it. Now, here's the thing. Whenever you share, you got to set your goals. My goal is not to have a conversation. My goal is not to share the gospel. My goal is not to get a decision. My goal is simply to do and ask the question. Once you've asked the question and then they say, yeah, I'm interested. Now my goal is to start a conversation. It's always manageable if the goal is realistic. We say, I got to go out and start a conversation, share the gospel. No, you'll fail that way. But if all your goal is to say, I'm going to step out and introduce myself and I can get rejected, well, that's all right because Christ got rejected. I'm cool. Or if they accept it, that's cool with me too. All we have to do is step out. Anyhow, I see this young guy, walk over to him, start my whole conversation with him, blah, blah, blah. Shared with him the gospel, and he's really receptive. Now, here's a guy. Now, in Fairfax, Anya had some familiar with it, just a little bit. He knew nothing. And I'm sharing the gospel with him, and I get to the end, and I say, it seems to me that right now there's three choices you have. The first choice is to say, this was an interesting conversation, but I'm not interested. I'm going to go the rest of my life and just be done with it. And that's okay. That's your choice. But I want you to know that if what I've shared with you is true, you will be held accountable for that choice. Number two, you can say, this is really interesting, but I need to think about it a little longer. I got it. And that's okay. But I want you to know that if you're thinking about it and you get hit by a bus, God will say, why didn't you choose me when you had the answer? What were you trying to postpone so you could do? And the third option you have is to say, wow, I need to get right with God. Those are his three choices. That's the three choices everybody has. Here's an interesting thing. In Deuteronomy 30:15, it says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him." It's literally a command. God commands us all to turn from our sins and repent. Flat out, it's a command. So this young man says, "I think I'm ready to do it." It's interesting. There was like a stare down with him. There's a rule in negotiation that says the first person to speak loses. I'm just letting him sit there because he needs to think about it. I don't want to interrupt his train of thought. He's weighing some serious, serious things. And I'm just sitting there. He's dead looking in my eyes. I'm dead looking into his eyes. Neither one of us blinks. And finally he says, yeah, I want to do this. So you know what my gospel prayer is? I don't say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, come into my heart. I just did the Anglican prayer of confession. Most merciful God, I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, etc. We went through that. He said it. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I couldn't direct him to church. He gave me his phone number. I texted him as I was reflecting on this. He didn't text me back. Okay. But I planted a seed. That is all we need to do. We just need to be seed planters. It's for God to water. Don't worry about that. We are not results people. All we are is action and obedience people. That's all we have to do. Let me end by a quote by C.S. Lewis. It is a serious thing to live. This is from The Weight of Glory, which we actually had in one of our readings. It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses. To remember that the dullest, most interesting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long, we are in some degree helping each other to one or the other of these destinations. It is in this light of these overwhelming possibilities, it is with awe and circumspection proper to them that we should conduct all our dealings with one another, all our friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, stub, exploit, immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. When I did my trip, I wasn't keeping count. All I was doing was starting conversations with a simple line. I'm doing a trip around the perimeter of the United States, and as I'm going, starting conversations, asking people a very interesting question, which everybody has an opinion on. Are you interested? Yes. Who is Jesus Christ? Now, when I got back, I said, that was pretty amazing. Let me tell you what my statistics were. Besides all the other persons I met during my travels, I introduced myself to 23 people, starting with my simple question. Of the 23, 5 were Christians, and 4 weren't interested. With 2, the conversation went nowhere. Of the remaining 12, this is half, I prayed with 1, explained the gospel to 4, explained the gospel to and prayed about their concerns with 4 more, and with the 3 remaining, explained the gospel and led them in a prayer of confession and repentance. Those are remarkable numbers. Now, you can say, I can't do that. No, you probably can't because you're not me and you're not on a road trip. But I can guarantee you this, that you can, there's the one thing that you can do that you're not probably doing now. You're not introducing yourself to people because you're in your mind. Okay? But trust me, people want to talk. They are interested in what you have to share, especially if you listen to them. Okay, so I'm going to ask you one other thing. And I want you to be honest about this. I don't want you to say it because the person is next to you. But if you say it, I want you to say it loudly. And when I count to 3, you can say, I will do that. Jesus, our King, challenges, nay, commands us to step out in courage and faithfulness to initiate meaningful conversations about his kingdom. What say ye? 1, 2, 3. I will do that. Thank you, Lord. You are our God. May we give you pleasure by sharing your word. And may it be that when we get to heaven, someone comes up to us and says, thank you for starting that conversation. Let's talk now. Amen.